It is time to do a little bit of phonology on Northern Community Radio.
Okay. We hope.
Yes.
I need to start off this morning by mentioning the passing of a very good friend and a very good phonologist. Ken Perry died this past week, and Ken was a teacher for many, many years in the Brainerd area. Ken was an avid birder. Ken was a fly tyer, a fisherman, just an outdoors guy, and a transplanted Texan who, by way of Florida, found his way to northern Minnesota and found a real true home and affected the lives of many, many, many students with his generosity and his kindness. And Ken was a longtime contributor to the Phenology Show, and we will miss him greatly. If you'd like to remember Ken, the funeral is coming up next Sunday in the Brainerd area. You can check online and find out the actual dates. And it's actually, I know it is Sunday, but you can find out the time on Sunday. And there's some other details there. So, Ken, Godspeed, we miss you, and we're sorry to note your passing. The Phenology Show is brought to you by me and KAXE Radio, and just a desire to be outside. And so with that, let me tell you that our good friends Sophie and Gracie, Black Duck High School students who live up in the Dixon Lake area, report that trumpeter swans returned to the Third River Confluence on March 1st, and bald eagles have returned to the lake as well. Ice depths on the lake are 36 inches or more in spots, and I've heard that from a number of other people, that the ice is pretty thick out there, so it won't be what I would call an early spring. I don't think the ice is going to disappear anytime too soon. We also had a note from Dan, who lives in the Cromwell area, and Dan has an unusual reporting in that he had seen a yellow-rumped warbler in the Cromwell area, and he said, he asked if that is early, and my own observations, yellow-rumped warblers are not generally here until much later in the spring, and I'm going to check into that and give you some information on that in just a second. I want to tell you, too, that one of the things that's coming along that I noticed yesterday that speaks to ice and snow is that for the first time yesterday, I noticed that there was some staining of snow on top of some of the area swamps, which means that the snow is starting to melt and runoff is starting to accumulate in the low spots. So you can see that there are some evidence of the coming of spring. And just looking at my notes, the average date for the first sighting of yellow-rumped warblers in the spring is the 24th of April. And I see that in 2012, they were here on the 29th of March. And that looks to be the earliest that I have on record for the yellow-rumped warbler. And it might be that there are some earlier sightings than that in the area. But for now, that's what I've got. The yellow-rumped warblers back into northern Minnesota generally about a month and a half from now. So it's not, the interesting thing about yellow-rumped warblers is that they are, they're a bird that can moderate their feeding. So they spend their, they spend the early part of the season, they'll come back and eat fruit. And then as the insects begin to emerge, they'll switch over and start eating insects. And that's where I usually see them. They come to like a red maple and the maple will be in flower, and of course that attracts insects, and these yellow-rumped warblers will kind of sit in the maple, hop around on the branches, and all of a sudden an insect will fly away in fear and terror, and of course the yellow-rumped warbler will whip out from a branch and snatch it out of the air and then return right back to the tree. And it's a very easily seen behavior of the yellow-rumped warblers once they switch over. But an early arrival like this one in the Cromwell area, I would expect that bird will probably be following the waxwings and the robins that are going to be in the area eating the fruit, and probably will join them for dining on fruit pieces until the insects emerge, because it's a little bit early for insects. Although, last Friday, while I was at the spruce site, in two of the chambers, one chamber heated to 12 degrees above ambient temperature, and one chamber ambient, and ambient being in this case, because it is a greenhouse, it's about 1 degree warmer Celsius than the outside air. Just the structure of the greenhouse keeps it a tiny bit warmer than the outside air. But in both of those chambers, I saw two individual moths, and I've told you about moths this time of year. It's a good time of year to start watching for moths, because there are two groups of moths that come out early in the spring and fly about in order to get their eggs laid and get their caterpillars going before the horde of warblers comes back and finds them and eats them. These moths divide into two groups, roughly. One is very furry, shivers a lot to warm its body up, big fat-bodied moth, gets its body up to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and then flies rapidly, through the countryside. And the other, and this is the one I saw, this one was kind of a mottled white and black. It had kind of smallish wings and a thin body, and it flapped sort of intermittently, kind of flipping and flopping this way and that. Not the skilled flyer, not the heavy, quick wing beats that the other moth has. So this one just sort of operates at room temperature, whatever it happens to be. And in this case, it was, I think both those days it had to be in the upper 20s, maybe low 30s inside those chambers. So interesting to see. Some moths out moving around. Insects will be coming out more and more as we move along. Other sightings this past week. I mentioned the swamps starting to stain. I saw a single snow bunting yesterday, and almost never see a single. Almost always see a flock. And the last time I saw snow buntings on Blue Heron Road, there was about 20 in the flock. And this one may have been part of that flock, and I just didn't scare up the rest of them. Or this one may have been just on its way north looking for a flock to join. But at any rate, there was a single snow bunting on the road yesterday. I also stopped and had a little conversation with my neighbor, Marvin. And Marvin said that the eagles, after these fierce winds that we had the other day, Marvin had come across eagles picking up sticks from his yard and taking them back to the nest. And there were lots and lots of them that were all over the place over there. And at my house, too, and probably at your house as well, lots of sticks that had probably fallen on the ground. I stopped at the end of the drive and put the binoculars on the nest, and I could see the head of the bald eagle. So she is on her nest, and that's kind of about the right time of year for that. What does it say? March 9th is the average date for nesting, and it can be much earlier than that. It seems like some of it can happen in February even, but the 9th is the average, and I suspect that that's probably, for this area, it's probably what is considered about the average date for this sort of thing. I'm looking the 16th in 2014, in 2013, March 3rd, 13th in 11, 17th in 05. Yeah, 99, I didn't have them on the nest until April 10th, but I suspect that that was maybe a slackerly observation on my part. I was probably just not looking quickly enough or looking in the right spot to make sure that they were there. Trumpeter swans. Sophie and Gracie mentioned that they were on the confluence of the Third River, and I got out of the car yesterday morning up at the bog and heard them on Cutaway Lake, and my wife Denise heard some on Crooked Lake, and I'm not sure if they're just checking for open water or if they're actually settling into some of these places where there is a little bit of open water, but definitely the trumpeter swans are moving around, checking out things, getting ready for nesting this spring. Red squirrels. I saw red squirrels chasing the other day. It's a springtime activity. I've talked about it before. Usually the female is in the lead and the male is the one following. And sometimes it'll be more than one male if competition is fierce over mating. And those guys are starting to do that behavior now. I had a note about the hoarfrost the other day, Friday and Saturday both. There was lots and lots of hoarfrost. All the trees were just coated with diamonds of ice. And driving along, it was just fabulous to look at. As the sun was rising, the ice was shining, these little diamonds of light blasting you in the eyes. Really, really a beautiful experience. I went to Ely and Virginia last week to chat with some of the students up there, and I stopped at Silver Lake in Virginia and watched the behavior of the local ducks there. There were lots of mallards on the lake. There were lots of common goldeneye, a couple of Canada geese and trumpeter swans, and I watched the goldeneyes in particular because they are diving ducks, and diving ducks typically don't have their don't do their breeding until they reach their breeding grounds. So their breeding behaviors, their courtship behaviors are often visible here in the Northland. Not so much for the mallards, because they typically breed south of here on their wintering grounds and then come up here already mated and ready to start their families. But the diving ducks and the golden eyes among them have this unusual habit of courtship, where the golden eye, the male golden eye, will throw his head all the way back until it's laying on his back, and then he'll let out a huge squawk and show off for the female in this way and other ways. But it's pretty obvious when he's doing this that it's a courtship activity. And if you live along a river, keep an eye on the golden eyes. You'll probably see them starting to do that kind of behavior, and that will be certainly indicative that it is spring coming for sure. A friend of mine, a fellow curler, had talked a little bit about a boreal owl last week on Tuesday, and had notes about the boreal owl that came to his yard and eventually died of starvation under his deck, which was a little sad, but one of those things that happens. The final note I have is about a painted turtle. And the painted turtle was up on a deadhead in Silver Lake. Silver Lake is right in the city of Virginia. It's kept warm by the power plant. They use it for cooling their steam generation. And it's kept warm by that, so it stays open all year round. And the painted turtle in there probably was warm enough to get up and get out and be a little active. Unlike a lot of painted turtles that are living in the Mississippi River right out here, or maybe living in a little pond near your house, they won't emerge until after the ice has melted away, and they will finally emerge from the mud. The painted turtle has a really, really unusual hibernation technique where it literally digs itself down into the mud and becomes entirely anaerobic, and it uses the magnesium and calcium from its blood to buffer its blood, or from its skeleton to buffer its blood in order to keep the blood from becoming too acidic. It stops breathing altogether, and it allows itself to cool to a point where it is very nearly frozen. So it's 35, 36 degrees, and at that rate, its metabolism drops to nearly nothing, and all of the parts that need to be protected are protected, but it stays so cold that it hardly is alive. And so at that level, it can hold its breath for 6 or 7 months, and it can survive by buffering its blood from these parts of its skeleton that I mentioned. And all in all, a pretty regular, strong survivor. The turtles have been on the Earth for over 300 million years. They've been successful for that length of time, and they survived the asteroid impact that took out all of the dinosaurs, which probably made room for the mammals, which ultimately made room for us. So the turtles were not affected, and that's pretty strong testament to their abilities. So keep an eye out for the turtles in your neighborhood, and don't forget, this is a listener-supported radio service, so give us a call if you've been enjoying the Phenology Show and you're not yet a member. Call us up and tell us what's going on in your neighborhood, and at the same time, let us know that you want to become a contributing member. That's the best.
Phenology supported by people like you. We need your support right now. 800-662-5799. It's the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. Thanks so much for all you do for Northern Community Radio. Maybe you're a listener. Maybe you tell folks about us. But we need you to take that step and become a member. If you've never done that before, or maybe you were a member 10 years ago, doesn't matter. Come on back. We need your support. Go to kexe.org to quickly sign up. It won't take long if you call us as well. 800-662-5799.